Scrolling. This is an extra scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflo.
And we just got back from Wisconsin Comic Convention. And boy, did we have a lot of fun.
We did have a lot of fun. In fact, we want to thank everyone who was able to sit down and have a few minutes with us as we learned a little bit about the projects they're working on. And so, wow, this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's get to our first interview.
Ben Wolf is the author of The Ghost Mine and The Crimson Flame, and he's here at Wisconsin Comic Convention. How is this show going so far, Ben?
So far, so good. I'm really excited to be here, really happy to have this opportunity. I'm from the Milwaukee area originally, so it was a nice excuse to come back up, visit old friends, hang out with my parents at their house, and hopefully sell some books.
So tell us all about The Ghost Mine.
Sure. The Ghost Mine is a science fiction horror novel that I wrote a couple of years ago. It came out last summer, and it's been on the market ever since. If you've ever seen the movie Aliens, the second one...
The good one.
Yeah, the good one. I like the first one, too. But the second one, I agree, is definitely the best. The Ghost Mine feels a lot like that movie, Aliens. In that it starts off as kind of a mystery, but by the end of it, you're running for your life just trying to survive. It was a lot of fun to write. A lot of characters die. I won't tell you who, but it's a very, very exciting ending, for sure.
So we're on a ship, and we're seeing interesting things happening? What's
the
premise?
Sort of. So it's not a ship in this case. It's a mine on another planet. So still out there, certainly, still futuristic. But we're on an energy mine on another planet, and things are starting to go wrong with the tech. There's little glitches in the system. Not everything is going the right way. People are starting to get minor injuries. Then they start getting more major, more serious injuries.
Minor injuries at a mine.
Right, see, minor injuries, yes. And then eventually, people start dying. And so the main character, Justin, wants to figure out what's going on because it hits pretty close to home for him. I won't tell you exactly how, but it's
dog and he goes very, John Wick on him.
Very important to him. Not quite the dog, but...
I'm on the right track.
You're on the right track, for sure. So that's The Ghost Mine. It's a really, really fun book. It's rated really highly on Amazon. It's in the 4.8-ish range as far as... number of stars that you get.
So people are enjoying it.
People are really enjoying it, yes. Okay. Everyone is ready.
So tell me a little bit about when you first started reading and what inspired you to be a writer.
Sure. I've been reading from a young age, as I think most authors probably do. The main set of books that really inspired me to start writing were Frank Peretti's books. I don't know if you're familiar with Frank Peretti. He's a popular author in the Christian writing world.
Okay.
And he wrote some supernatural type horror Christian books, of all things. You wouldn't necessarily think those things go together, but the way that he put them together actually worked really well. So he was sort of my first early influence on getting the writing going, as far as inspiring me to want to do that someday. I didn't pick up a pen or grab a computer and start right then and there, because I was reading his books at age 7, age 10, somewhere in that range. But what really kicked it off for me was a negative experience, believe it or not. If you've ever seen the movie Congo, you know how terrible it is.
Yes.
I saw the movie Congo in seventh grade, and it was so bad.
How bad was it?
It was so bad that I sat down at a computer and wrote a parody of it called Congo Roo that featured murderous kangaroos in Australia instead of gorillas in Africa.
Nice.
That was the first thing I ever wrote that was long by any stretch of the imagination, and it is forever locked away in a drawer, and it will never see the light of day.
Okay. First books, that's the way they work.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. My first few books are locked away in drawers,
that
never see the light of day.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So did you ever tell him, have you contacted this author and told him how inspirational he was? Because I bet you he would really love to hear that.
Frank Peretti?
Yeah.
Yes, I've actually met him in person a handful of times, and I've been able to convey that to him, and he was very appreciative.
That's awesome.
He hears that from a lot of people, because he was arguably the biggest name in Christian fiction publishing for probably about a decade, between the late 80s, early to mid 90s, somewhere in that range. He was like the guy. So I know for a fact he has influenced many, many authors to write anything at all whatsoever.
All right, so when you were young, you sat down, you wrote basically a book.
I did.
What is your process, or how did your process change from when that first book went out to today?
So you guys, you talk to a lot of authors. Are you familiar with the terms pantsing and plotting? Have you ever heard that before?
Nope.
Okay, so this is great. This is great for your listeners and for you guys to understand going forward. If you are a pantser, that means that you write your stories by the seat of your pants.
Okay.
You make it up as you go along. Arguably, the most famous pantser is Stephen King. He pantses his way through his novels, and he likes to do that because it gives him a fresh perspective on everything that's coming. If he doesn't know how it ends, then he can create the most surprising ending for the reader possible. That's one of the advantages to pantsing. One of the disadvantages is you have no idea where the story's going, and so typically you have to go back and then do a ton of revisions. That can take a while, so it's not always the most ideal or the quickest route to getting stuff done. My first few books, I pantsed my way through them, and it was a nightmare. Then I learned about the three-act structure, and I became a plotter. Plotter means that you plan things out in advance. If you're going to plot to take over the world, you're not going to pants your way to take over the world. You're going to create a plot like Pinky and the Brain, and find a way to achieve the goal that you want to achieve. So now what I do is I start by coming up with my idea. The Ghost Mine actually came to me as a dream, just one scene of it, one very terrifying scene, and I was the main character, which was even worse. Had this dream, wrote it down, and I just sort of let it marinate for a little while. After that, the idea started to grow, started to get bigger, and I started to give it some structure, some shape. I started to figure out what would be the beginning, what is the first major door of no return, it's what you call it in the three-act structure, one of the things you can call it, depending on who you talk to, all the way through the midpoint, which is the second door of no return, then you take it to the third door of no return, which is the transition between Act 2 and Act 3, into your climax, and then into your resolution. That's real quick, that's just the basic version of the three-act structure.
Sometimes works.
Sometimes.
Most of the time, actually.
Much of the time, yes.
Yeah.
And one of the main criticisms of the plotting method is that it feels too formulaic.
Sure.
But I tell you what, some of the greatest movies and books of all time follow the three-act structure.
And when we don't get a three-act structure as an audience, sometimes we're not able to stick with the story because it doesn't have that familiar shape.
Well, I was going to say, that could explain some of the challenges that Stephen King has with his endings, because his endings typically are the weakest part of his books.
Yep, almost always.
That's one of the main criticisms of his work.
Yeah.
I mean, he's Stephen King, so you put his name on a book, it's going to sell, but everybody's going to have their own opinion, of course.
Or they're going to stop about 10 pages before the end because they know how awful some of the book's endings are.
They make up their own ending.
Now, The Ghost Mine is your current book. You also have written a book called The Crimson Flame. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Crimson Flame is a sword and sorcery fantasy novel that follows four different characters from four very different backgrounds. And they all have to come together to do a job for a Dark Lord. And that Dark Lord wants them to first recover a lost map, and then second, to find the thing at the end of the map. And I won't tell you what it is because I want you to read the book, of course. But this is a very heavy fantasy book, so that will give you maybe some ideas on what type of thing it might be. There's a lot of dungeon raiding. There's a lot of action and fighting and really interesting character interplay because the characters are all from very diverse, very different backgrounds. It's just a fun book. It reads like a D&D campaign.
Steve, are we going to be rolling some dice while we read this?
It's time to be an active part of this story.
Absolutely.
To find a way to be the hero that we all deserve, Crimson Flame.
Yes,
there you go.
Exactly. This book is, right now you see it here in my hands. It is not officially launched yet.
Oh.
It launches on Tuesday.
Oh.
This Tuesday, July 2nd, it will be live on Amazon for print and digital. And so if this gets out before then, by all means, go to Amazon and buy it, because for independent authors, that launch day is the most crucial day. It's going to be priced very low at $3.99, and it's a fantastic book. It is the most fun thing I've ever written. And that's saying something, because The Ghost Mine is insane. This is a lot more fun. It is book one of a 9-book series. And it also includes, on my author mailing list, 4 prequel novellas, one for each of the 4 main characters. They're sort of origin stories. And we'll provide the link to you in the show notes if you want to go ahead and download that.
Absolutely. All right, so where can our listeners find out more information about you besides the Amazon store?
Sure. My website is really easy. It's benwolf.com. BenWolf. Wolf like the animal, Ben like Ben Franklin. Pretty easy to find me. And I'm all over social media too.
Okay.
At the number 1 and then Ben Wolf, same spelling and all that, is me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Real easy to find.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks, guys.
That was Ben Wolf from BenWolf.com. And he was promoting his latest release that will be coming on July 2nd, Steve.
On Tuesday. And he said very specifically, we can really help out those indie authors by buying this book on Tuesday. So let's all go to amazon.toomuchscrolling.com and buy a copy of this book and support our indie authors. I don't know, Chip. Is that enough information to survive an extra scrolling?
Only if we come back for the next extra scrolling,
Steve. We got so many. We have so many ready to go. We got a lot of stuff. We got a lot of wonderful people to talk to, and we'll get to those this week.
And we have our new podcast coming out every Tuesday, so listen to Too Much Scrolling.
I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We'll see you in the future. What I want to